All right. Thanks for being here tonight. It's an encouragement to me, and I'm sure to many other people, when you come out on Wednesday night. Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Last week, Pastor asked me to preach probably 2 weeks ago, and last week Jim was on, and he told us to open up to Philippians, and I went into a state of terror because I thought he was going to steal my sermon for tonight. But fortunately, he didn't. And last week, Jim preached from chapter 3, and that was a blessing. It was a blessing to hear from Jim, and it was a blessing to hear from God's Word then. But tonight, we're going to look at Philippians 4, 1 through 9. And Paul's coming to the end of this letter to these believers there at Philippi, and he's really wrapping things up. Really, we start to see him summarize what he's already written. So look at chapter 4 with me, and let's read verses 1 down to 9 together. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be on the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yokesfellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Let's go ahead and pray and we'll start our study for the night. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, tonight I need you. Father, I come before you humbly. Because, Father, there's nothing in me that deserves to stand here tonight before you and before these people and teach your word. And Father, you give us your word and you instruct us to take your word and to teach others. And so, Father, tonight use me in a way that only you can. Father, tonight I love you and grateful for the work that you're doing in my life and in the lives of the men and women that are here tonight. In your name, amen. The five things that I want to look at quickly tonight, and we're not going to take long, but hopefully five things that will challenge you in your walk with Christ. As we start this chapter, Paul begins with the word, therefore. So we know that this is tied to something that's already occurred, something that he's already talked about, something that he's already spoken to them and written to them and really challenged them on. We know that this letter to the Philippians here is really a letter of joy. It's a letter of encouragement. It's a letter that he's writing because these are precious people to him. And there's so many things within this letter that we can take away as believers to use within our own walk. But really to get some context as to where he's going, let's take a look back at chapter 3 and we'll pick up where Jim left off last week. Look at 15 there. It says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." So those of us that are Christians, be thus minded. "And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So as believers, be thus minded, be thinking the same thing. And if there's something that's contradictory within us, if we're aligned with God, if we're in a right walk with God, then God's going to point that in our lives so that we can straighten it out, so that we have unity within the body. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Verse 20, for our conversation, our lifestyle, the way that we present ourselves, our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven, and we should look like heavenly people. From whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Here we find Paul, he's challenging these believers in their walk, the way that they live, the way that they act, the way that they treat each other. There's going to be a difference between those who are walking with Christ. There's going to be a difference between those that are united because of their faith in Christ and those that live contrary to the gospel. So now come back to chapter 4, verse 1, and there's some things here we're going to take away tonight that hopefully are going to help us in our walk. Look with me, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Here's the first thing that I want you to take away tonight. If we're going to live consistent lives that are pleasing to God, if we're going to live lives that are a testimony to others, if we're going to live lives that are examples, or as Paul says in verse 20 there, our conversation is in heaven, the first thing we must have is a right anchor. The first thing we must have is a right anchor. Stand fast in the Lord. I can't be anchored to anything else. Husbands and wives, your anchor was never meant to be your spouse. As strong as they may be in the faith, as consistent as they may be in their walk, they were never meant to be your anchor. In fact, if they are your anchor, you're going to continue to be let down. You're not only being let down by them, but you're going to let them down. Your spouse was never meant to be your anchor. Stand fast in the Lord. Kids, your parents were never meant to be your anchor. Yeah, they should be a guiding light. Yes, they should point you to the Word of God. Yes, they should speak into your life. Yes, they should give you knowledge and they should help you and they should mentor you. But they were never meant to be your anchor. And kids, if you don't have a walk with God yourself, if you are not studying the Bible and reading your Bible yourself, and you're just trusting that your faith of your parents is going to get you through, you've got the wrong anchor. Your job was never meant to be your anchor. Your car, it's never meant to be your anchor. There's so many things in our lives that we attach ourselves to or we attach to ourselves. And these are things that are important, and when we're struggling or when we need something that's going to give us joy, we go to that. Hopefully this will help me. Hopefully this will give me some joy. Hopefully this will give me a little bit of peace. Hopefully this is going to just make my life a little bit better right now. Sometimes, sadly, we even use sin as an anchor. Maybe we've got just a little pocket sin. A sin that, oh, it's not that bad. And nobody knows about it. But man, when I'm really struggling, that's where I go to. if you're going to be consistent in your walk with God, if you're going to grow in your walk with God, stand fast in the Lord. He has to be your anchor. You find the second takeaway tonight in verses 2 and 3. I'm going to butcher these names, so don't laugh at me. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yokes fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Our first takeaway was a right anchor. The second one tonight is right relationships. Friends, you need people in your life that guide your heart to Christ. Look what he says there, be of the same mind. Most people in this room either work with or perhaps go to school with people who are not of the same mind. People who don't believe in the holy God that we believe in or the saving power of Jesus Christ. People whose focus is largely self-centered. Much of the time we can't avoid spending time in those spaces. And the reality is we should be in those spaces because we need to be speaking truth. We need to be speaking gospel into those spaces. But as believers desiring to walk godly lives, we need to have people in our lives who are of the same mind in the Lord. People in our lives who desire to honor God with their lives. People in our lives that when we're starting to struggle, they'll come alongside us and they'll help us. We need to have people in our lives that when we get off track, and we all do. Man, I've been off track so many times. But we need people in our lives that are going to come in and go, hey, Phil, this is the way we need to go. Doesn't matter what age you are, you need people that will speak into your life, that will speak truth, the truth of God's word into your life. And maybe you can be a little bit vulnerable with them. Maybe you can be a little bit honest with them and open up to them, and they can speak with love into your life. We all need those people in our lives. Friends, if we're going to live God-honoring lives, we have to have a right anchor. But we also have to have right relationships. I remember when I was in the military, I made some really, really strong relationships. Some men that went to Afghanistan time after time with me. Men that I bled with. Men that I fought with, men that I cried with, men that I trusted with my very life. Men that I told things about myself to that I hadn't spoken to anyone else about, but men that were not Christians. Men that were not saved. Men that did not care that my heart was or was not aligned with God. And they were good men. But their desire for me was not that I grow in my walk with God. Eventually, there came a point in my life where I had to make a decision. Are these men leading me to Christ, helping me grow in my walk with Christ? Are these men sharpening me, or are these men rubbing off on me and having a negative impact on me? We have to have people in our lives that are growing us, that are sharpening us, that are mentoring us, that are helping us. I'm still friends with a lot of those men now, but I don't spend the same amount of time as I did with them. And we don't have the same tightness in our relationship. Because for me, I had to step away a bit because they just weren't leading me in the right direction. We got to have lives that are shaped by the right anchor. And we have to have right relationships. But let's look at the next one, verses 4 through 7. He says, hey, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. We have a right anchor, we have right relationships, and now we have right prayer. Look at what Paul says here, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say we rejoice. You know, as believers, there's always something for us to rejoice about. Doesn't matter how dark my situation is or how deep I feel like I'm in something. It doesn't matter how far I feel like I've wandered. It doesn't matter how big or all-consuming the problem I have is. We always have something to rejoice in. We always have a God that can be praised. We always have a God that should be glorified. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your mildness, your mildness, your gentleness. And here we see this picture of trust. I'm not frantic. I'm not panicked. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't be consumed by your concerns. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. A God-focused instead of me-focused, a God-trusting prayer life. That's what's going to help us walk in a manner that's pleasing to God. We've got to have a right anchor. We've got to have right relationships. We need right prayer. And here's the next one, verse 8. You probably see it already, right thinking. You all know these verses here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. But how am I going to recognize what things are true, what things are honest, what things are just and pure and lovely and of a good report? How am I going to know that? And we could break down and we could do a sermon on each one of those. How do we recognize those things if we have the wrong anchor? How do we recognize those things if we're in wrong relationships? How do we recognize those things if we don't have a right prayer life? How do we recognize those things if we're not spending time here? If I'm not in the Word of God, I'm not going to know what's true. If I'm not in the Word of God, I'm not going to know what God thinks is lovely. If I'm not in the Word of God, I'm not going to understand God's justice. If I'm not in the Word of God, I'm not going to understand what it means to have a good report. I'm not going to understand what it means for me to live as a believer. How do I live a Christ-like life if I'm not in the Word of God? And yet so often, I find in myself that the first thing that I let go is my time in God's Word. When our day gets busy and when our lives are frantic and when we've got so many things on our plate and there's so much happening, this is often, sadly, the first thing that we let go. But if we let go of this, if we stop spending time in this, how do we understand those things? If I have the wrong anchor, I'm not going to recognize what's true and what's honest and what's just. If I have wrong relationships, relationships that are not pointing to Christ, I'm not going to recognize what is pure and lovely. if my understanding of what's pure and what's lovely is shaped by the world, it's the wrong shape. If I don't have a right prayer life, I'm going to struggle to think on these things. If we're going to walk right, if we're going to live lives that glorify God, we have to have a right anchor. We have to have right relationships. We have to have right prayer. We have to have right thinking. And here's the last one, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. We have to act on it. We have to act on it. There has to be right living. Every aspect of our lives should be influenced by our anchor. It should be shaped by our godly relationships, by our prayer life, by our thought life. Friends, act on your faith. Act on what God's word is telling you. And then tell others about it. That's the do part. Take what you learn and teach it to someone else. Just like you need a mentor, just like you need someone who's going to bring you to the Word of God and help you and teach you, somebody else needs you. Somebody else needs you to be studying your Bible. Somebody else needs you to be consistent in your prayer life. Somebody else needs you to be desiring to walk closely with Jesus. Somebody needs you. Here's the thing, I live a right life because my anchor is right. I live right because my relationships keep leading me to Christ. I live right because I have a God-centered prayer life. I live right because I soak in God's word and my thinking is right. Can I challenge you tonight? Have a right anchor. Have right relationships. Have a right prayer life. Have right thinking. And act on it. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we come before you. Father, I'm so grateful that Jesus is working in my life. Father, I'm so grateful that he continues to mold and to shape me to be a better person that can glorify you better. It's not about me being the best version of me. It's about me being the best version of who you desire me to be. And God, for each of us here tonight, each of us have people in our lives that we have influence over, that we can have an impact on. Father, tonight I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would strengthen us. I pray that you would give us a desire to be in your word and to grow and to learn. And Father, so that we can have a godly influence on the people around us. And Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. And thank you for the people that you've placed in our lives that have poured into us. And Father, now as we pour out, give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the boldness that we need to make a change in the spaces that we live, that we work, that we worship, the spaces that we go to school. Father, we desire to honor you. We desire to lift you higher with our lives. So Father, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.